Wisconsin Rapids Recreation Department has fun activities for the entire family. If you'd like more information, contact the Wisconsin Rapids Recreation Department at 715-421-8240. Again, that's 715-421-8240. That's a reminder from your friends at AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine in store for this afternoon. High temperatures topping out in the low 80s with a southeasterly wind around 5 miles an hour. Mostly clear skies continuing through the night tonight. Lows bottoming out in the upper 50s. And sunny skies going to continue through the day Saturday. High temperatures topping out in the upper 80s with a southwesterly wind of 5 to 10. Sunny skies in store for Sunday as well. Daytime highs reaching the upper 80s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Nikki Latola.
And right now, across central Wisconsin, it's gorgeous out. So it's a good day to go out and start enjoying Cranberry Blossom Fest in central Wisconsin. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. 70 under sunny skies in Wausau, 71 in Marshfield, 69 in Stevens Point, and plenty of sun, and 72 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and streaming live at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Today with John Moffitt, you can reach your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700. When he recorded his promo for today's show, Pete Bry misspoke. So what we are talking about today can be this is a good topic because we talked about it with the Lieutenant Governor just a few moments ago. Jobs, jobs, and jobs. That's basically, that's the way I put the title down after our pre-show meeting.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Okay. Wisconsin does got some good economic news on the jobs front. Yesterday, with the lowest unemployment rate in 15 years and the highest participation rate and blah, blah. And recently there was the federal report, and it had like 38,000, I think, 38,000 jobs created. And people go, all of a sudden the market goes, wah. Well, that's, everybody gets nervous. I always, and I never know who's telling me what, because I don't know who to believe when these numbers come out.
What statistic to look at, right?
Right, exactly.
Because statistics tell a very different picture depending on how you're interpreting the data. And as you heard this morning, the job picture in Wisconsin is pretty good, as it is around the rest of the country. We keep hearing every day how things are bad in the economy. The politicians are telling us things are bad, things are bad. But the reality is the economy is doing okay, and it shows up in the labor numbers, which we're going to talk about today.
Okay, so what is the labor market right now in countrywide, and how is it? What is it doing? I guess.
Well, let's go back and take a look at some historical stuff since the Great Recession in 2008.
Okay.
2008, 2009. We kind of start there.
Okay, that should be a good place to start.
Talk about historically where we've been
far as unemployment. Okay, that makes sense.
So, during the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, this country, we lost 8.8 million jobs. Lots of jobs. Since that time, we have gained back 14.4 million jobs, and this is according to some data that is put out by J.P. Morgan recently. So we've seen a substantial increase in the number of people employed since the Great Recession.
Okay.
And we've been averaging over the last, say, 4 years or so, almost 200,000 jobs every month, if you average the data. But that's really where the interesting part of all this comes from. And as we talked about the 38,000 jobs last month being a terrible number, and the politicians jumped on it as a terrible number, the reality is that number is created by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Okay.
And it's one of the worst numbers in terms of accuracy that there is in when you're looking at statistical data. And although I don't know the exact details of the number, my understanding of the number is they arrive at their number based on phone calls they make to households and questions they ask.
Okay.
Which to me is kind of unusual.
Yeah.
But it has been a number that everybody questions the validity of the number on a monthly basis. Because how is it possible? I think one of the political candidates pointed out, how can this number, in this day and age, how can we not have a more accurate number?
Right.
But when you think through the employment numbers, what are you going to do? You're going to have every employer every month provide data to the government, either state or federal, to arrive at an accurate number? It would be pretty difficult, I think.
Okay, so this number basically is like a shot in the dark.
I would say it's fairly accurate, but you can't look at every single month and expect it to be a perfect movement as far as the numbers are concerned. So in many cases, from an investment standpoint, we would look at a six-month rolling average of the data so that it takes into a high point or a low point during that six-month period. But the reality of the situation we are in is that unemployment is under 5%. Based on the statistical norm,
right?
Really, that's the statistics. How the statistics have been put together for years and years and years. So it might not be accurate every single month, but that's what we've used over the last 30 or 40 years. So,
okay. So, how has our recovery from the Great Recession compared historically with our recovery from other downturns?
In a labor market, from a labor market perspective, it was slower than other recessions because this recession was so large.
Right.
I mean, we literally had a stock market that performed like the Great Depression in 1929. So, I mean, the markets took it very seriously. There was a tremendous amount of people that lost their jobs for a whole lot of different reasons. But the economy has come back, and you hear constantly the economy's not growing fast enough, we're not doing enough. But on this show, you and I have talked about the fact that you're talking about a multi-trillion-dollar economy, but the law of large numbers is really hard to grow that number at a very high level, and it's been our opinion that growth in this country will average around 2%, 2.5% going forward, just because we're such a big economy.
And then, like the Lieutenant Governor mentioned in our discussion in the first half hour, you have employers saying, we're having trouble finding workers for openings that we've heard. And I've heard that locally from folks. So that enters into this, too.
So let me take you to a statistic that is being used called the JOLTS report.
Okay.
And that's job openings and labor turnover report is what that.
Okay, the JOLT.
Correct. So it does look at that. And when you look at that number, it basically says that there are more job openings than we have workers to fill those job openings because of a skills gap. And in this number started in, I think it was 2000. So it's been in place for 16 years.
Right.
And the number is basically at an all-time high, meaning that there are more job openings than that we have people to fill at this point in time as it relates to skills.
Okay, as it relates to skills.
Yeah. So I'm looking at some statistical data that shows that there's about 100,000 baby boomers that are leaving the workforce every month.
Okay.
Retiring.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be at age 65. Somebody could retire at 55. And that the number of people entering the workforce is not matching the number that is retiring.
Okay.
So we have a issue there. There is also the issue of immigration. and people coming into this country, and there is about 400,000 immigrants every year that of working age coming in. So right now we have a labor participation rate that is falling because there is some structurally unemployed people, there's baby boomers retiring, but the bottom line is we are close to full employment. Statistically.
Statistically, yeah. Right.
And that's the interesting part about all this is that there is a constant discussion about people not having the right skills for the jobs that are available today.
Yeah, and that's it. And so that seems to be where the resources should be spent. If someone's lost a job in an industry that's going under, and they need, we would be better off spending our money retraining that person for the new jobs that are coming on or helping.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of capitalism. Everything is always evolving. Everything is changing. And there's always a lag time. As remember, say, 5-10 years ago, everyone was talking about we're going to become a nation of hamburger flippers.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that?
Yes.
And obviously that didn't happen. We need people to make our hamburgers as we go through the, you know, the drive-in at McDonald's. But the reality is we did not become a nation of hamburger flippers. And the jobs in this country and the availability of jobs is in higher skilled positions. Lower skilled jobs are obviously still available, but the jobs of that are being created now are jobs that you need skills.
And they are the ones that pay the most. And like you said, use this phrase, which no one has been able to define for me, a living wage. those are those jobs. If you have the skills or you can get the training, those are the jobs you can support a family on.
Right.
Okay, we got to take a quick break, and then we're going to be talking about a lot of different things, and including the politics of all this, these job numbers, and maybe help you understand what people are debating. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with John Moffitt here on The Morning Magazine. Back with more right after this.
The third annual Local Swing Against Cancer golf outing is set for Monday, June 27th at the Ridges, Wisconsin Rapids. Take the day off. It's a great cause. This four-person scramble begins at 10 a.m. Plus, you may golf with a Packer like Bill Schrader, Gary Ellerson, Johnny Gray, and Tony Fisher. Plus, dinner, raffles, and autographs. All money raised stays local with Riverview Healthcare Foundation identifying recipients struggling with cancer. These funds help pay for medications, gas for appointments, or any other daily needs that arise to make your life better. Contact Stan Succo at 572-6751 or the Ridges Golf Course at 424-3204 for details and registration forms. Please support these Swing for Cancer sponsors. Gaynor Cranberry, Venus Gentlemen's Club, Rich A. Funeral Home, Pellner Williams Plumbing, Bank Account, WFHR and WLJY. Get your best buds together now to help a great local cause and fight cancer. Sign up at the Ridges today.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine in store for this afternoon. High temperatures topping out in the low 80s with a southeasterly wind around 5 miles an hour. Mostly clear skies continuing through the night tonight. Lows bottoming out in the upper 50s. And sunny skies going to continue through the day Saturday. High temperatures topping out in the upper 80s with a southwesterly wind of 5 to 10. Sunny skies in store for Sunday as well. Daytime highs reaching the upper 80s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Nikki Latola.
Thank you, Nikki. Sun and lots of it in 72 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with John Moffitt. We're talking about jobs and numbers. And John, let's look into where these new jobs are being created. I guess that's we were just talking about the skills gap, and we had talked about that with the Lieutenant Governor. So where are the new jobs being created?
Well, as far as the new jobs, I can't speak to that specifically, but since the Great Recession,
okay,
since
that's
2010,
right. Okay,
since
where
have all these 14 million jobs been
now,
created?
Okay, so.
And that'll kind of give us a picture of how things are going from
okay,
a job creation
okay, sure.
standpoint. But according to the data that I've looked at, of that 14.4 million, the most jobs have been created in information and financial and business services. I mean, service jobs.
Okay.
In the financial industry, in the information industry, obviously, the Googles of the world and the Apples of the world, anything to do with information and the processing of data, obviously, is big business. Surprisingly, manufacturing has been, in the trades, in transportation, I think, classify those together, is the second biggest job creator with 3.6 million.
Because we need to make these things that we use for all this information gathering.
Right. I think we talked in one of the last times I was here was that an interesting number is the number of manufacturing jobs in this country peaked in the late 70s, early 80s. But as 2016 or 2015 was the year that we made the most stuff in this country, that we had the highest volume of manufacturing from a dollar standpoint because we're making high-tech things that are more expensive than we used to make. And it goes back to that skills level.
Right.
Continuing on, 2.9 million jobs in the leisure and hospitality industry, 2.8 in health services, 1.2 in million jobs in in mining and construction. And the only area where we have shedded jobs over the last 6 years is government. So government has cut back on employment over that same period of time.
Because we're shrinking government, so we don't need as many bureaucrats.
Right. That's kind of what
and some of us would not look at that as a bad thing.
There you go.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So there. So what it's telling, what you just told me, is that, like for instance, in manufacturing and this technological revolution that we're having, people have been lamenting, "Oh my God, it's costing jobs. It's also creating jobs."
It's creating a different kind of jobs. Yes, net, we've lost jobs in manufacturing, but the jobs that have been created in manufacturing are more of a skilled type employee. They pay higher salaries. I was talking to an individual that owns a manufacturing business in Stevens Point
okay.
the other day. And he's talking about they manufacture parts for the airline industry, things like that. He said it's a manufacturing facility, but you can eat off the work floor.
Yeah.
Because everything has to be so clean. Everything is to a tolerance of millionths of an inch as they mill this stuff. So it's just a different world we live in today. Yes, we have lost some jobs in manufacturing, but we've created a whole different environment.
I mean, that goes in line with like the heavy metal bus tour. Okay. Where that we've had here in Wisconsin Rapids to expose students to careers in manufacturing, and it's high-tech manufacturing. Down the road here, over at Ocean Spray, and their plant where they make craisins, and the like, that's really, I mean, it's as clean as anything you'll ever see.
Yes.
I've taken a tour of it, and it's all computers and high-tech, and it's not what people used to think.
Yep, that's exactly right. And obviously that's a food processing.
Right.
So it has to be clean. But even, I was reading about GE's battery factory that they have. Same thing. You can eat off the floors.
Yeah.
Everything has to be no dust, no lint, because everything is manufactured to such a high quality and high tolerance.
Okay. So when we're talking about manufacturing jobs, we got to rethink what type of jobs we're talking about.
Right. Everything has evolved and changed in this country, but the reality is we're at pretty close to full employment when you take into consideration there's a portion of the population that isn't going to work or can't work or doesn't want to work.
I want to talk a little bit about that. We get this number, who's ever, and I go by, I don't use one party, I go, the party that's the majority party will always talk the good aspects of job numbers. The party that's out of power will always point to, well, what about the structurally unemployed or stuff like that? Well, who are they? Do we have an accurate number, or do we have even idea? And then the underemployed and stuff like that.
Right.
We hear a lot of debate about
it. That is how you want to put a spin on that number. There's no question about it. The labor participation rate has been a number that has been used over the last six to 10 years relating to the political aspect of things, because as you just said, people are underemployed, or why is the labor participation rate so low? Well, that's a number that's actually been declining for almost 20 years due to changes in the population. So how we define the number, how we determine the number, is up for debate. I can't answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the materials that we look at talks about a 1-2% of what would be called structurally unemployed.
Okay.
That aren't going to work, which is probably logical. I mean, that's just part of society. Not everyone's a go-getter. And so from that standpoint, there is that component. The underemployed, I don't know. I've never seen any statistical data.
Yeah.
It's just a comment that is made, you know, that people are underemployed. Well, you can't be fully employed unless you get the proper education to, or the skills to meet the job market. A good example.
Okay.
We heard all these things about the pipeline.
Right.
The Keystone Pipeline, that we needed to build it because we needed to create jobs. When you delve deeper into it, we didn't have enough welders in this country to build that pipeline without leaving some other place to go there to work on it, because there just wasn't enough welders in this country. That's a simple fact. I mean, it was great political discussion, but there's just not enough welders. So
okay.
You can't, the jobs and the skill level and all of that enters into this. These numbers relating to unemployed or partially employed or underemployed, or, you know, it's just, it's a really interesting concept. But right now we're at 5%, which is the long-term historic norm.
We're okay.
Yeah, I mean, you get in that 4-5%, there is a school of thought that says that is full employment. And that's what we're hearing.
I'm thinking of the old Phillips curve I remember from my college economics class.
Yeah. I mean, we're about there. And there's a number of local businesses that can't find people to work in their businesses. And it's just, that's the nature of the beast.
Okay.
We're near full employment.
Okay, so then we need, and we're also starting to see wages go up because of that, because they're trying to attract people and they're competing for a limited workforce. I mean, that has an impact on this. These job numbers also have an impact on wages.
Right, and that's the interesting part from an investment standpoint, because we've been waiting for the Fed to raise rates, and we believe it's our position. We need interest rates to go up.
Right,
that it's not a bad thing long term, but the Fed is looking at numbers relating to wage growth. Unemployment has fallen substantially, but we haven't really seen wage growth, and wages as a whole have been, when you look at the statistical data, have been declining since the 80s.
Okay.
I mean, how the numbers get calculated, I'm not sure. I'm looking at a chart that shows wage growth, and it just isn't very robust.
Okay.
So the Fed wants to see that number begin to go up more. I heard your previous...
Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, talk about wage growth.
Right.
And people not seeing growth in their paychecks.
Right.
And that's what the Fed is trying to push right now, in balance between getting wages to go up and also not creating a lot of inflation like we had in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
Their wages got kind of out of control.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's the Phillips curve, the idea that if you go below a certain level of unemployment, inflation could start ticking up.
Right, because the 60% of the expenses for any business, 60% plus, is employee salaries. So if businesses have to pay more for their employees, well, obviously that's logical to believe that they raise the price of their products. We have not seen that because of global manufacturing and global outsourcing of goods. So that has been what has really kept wage growth down, is the ability for most of these large corporations to supply products from any place in the world.
Okay, and that's an interesting dynamic there, is the fact that we are so integrated with the rest of the world due to technology, computers, and everything else. I mean, I sometimes listen to some of these politicians talking about, you know, neo-isolationism. I go, it's impossible. With the modern technologies.
Well, it's impossible because the large corporations in our country, whether it be Apple or Exxon or just pick any name, they are global companies.
Right.
I mean, they get a huge percentage of their business outside this country, which is a good thing. There is no perfect world, and we could debate the pros and cons of literally anything as it relates to the global activity, but we do live in a global economy, and we have to deal with all the nuances of living in that world.
Okay. So I guess to wrap up our discussion this morning, when we hear people debating jobs, let's take a more realistic approach. We're actually doing pretty well.
We're actually doing pretty well. And if we discuss it from an investment point of view,
yeah,
we always need to look at a period of time, not 1 month's statistical data, because that's not always an accurate representation.
Sure.
Now, the stock market will go up and down based on whatever the news was that morning or whatever the headline was, but eventually it will revert back to the trend of numbers. And if the trend of numbers is positive, which obviously the employment numbers in this country have been positive over the last 6 years or so, that's what's driven the stock market higher over the last 6 to 7 years.
Yeah. And there's a disconnect with the public and what the numbers. I think the average person goes, I disagree with you. Well, look at the data.
Yeah, the data is telling us that the U.S. economy is doing okay. Obviously, there's always ups and downs, but at under 5% unemployment, if we believe the numbers that have been calculated the same way for a long time, it is actually we're in a situation where we're at full employment, and the question is, will we be able to put 200,000 jobs, new jobs every month? And the answer is probably no.
Okay. And in the future, in terms of the investment world, with the wild swings, the stock market is going to, probably after the election, I would think, things will smooth out.
Well, right now, the markets are debating the exit from the United Kingdom from
right.
the European Union, the Brit exit, or
right.
however they say that. That's really the big uncertainty now. That'll go away here in the next week
right.
as England votes on that. And then after that, it's the election and what the new president, what policies are going to be put in place, and whether or not the Congress will work together to pass legislation that is reasonable and moves us forward economically. And that's been from our perspective, that's been the tough thing over the last number of years, is they just don't seem to want to cooperate and work together for all of the people. As you pointed out earlier, there's just so much political bickering that they don't accomplish a lot. Only, on feel-good things. You know,
yeah.
They all get a bump up because they feel good about things. But the reality is, we need to work together to get the economy, continuing to go forward.
Yeah, and that means working together to get the debt down. Looking at our spending, everything.
Yeah, there's no question.
Taxes, tax reform.
It's for our politicians to spend the money, but we need to be fiscally responsible as to how we spend it. And the reality is, we're just spending way more than we're taking in.
Yeah, and if this was a public corporation, the board of directors would probably be looking for new jobs.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
Okay. Well, very interesting discussion, John. And I think, now I have a little better understanding, and quite honestly, a lot of the political rhetoric, I'm going to tune out.
Yeah, you have to do that this time. I mean, if we're just talking about from an investment standpoint, that is a true statement.
Okay. Well, John, you have yourself a great weekend. Go out and enjoy Cranberry Blossom Festival, and I appreciate the work you put into today's show.
Great. Thanks, Carl. I appreciate you.
Okay, take care. That's this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management today with John Moffitt. And remember, you can reach your local investment professionals by calling 715-422-0700. And that's going to do it for the Friday edition of the Morning Magazine here on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. It's been brought to you by Comfort Air. CBS News is coming up next, and that will lead into Over the Back Fence. I'll be taking your phone calls here for that, and that will lead